So this morning we're going to continue our series called Unafraid, and it's based on the book by Adam Hamilton. This book looks at all different kinds of fears and how fear has this power. It's a very powerful emotion. It has the power to paralyze us. And it can also be one of our best teachers. Fear can motivate us. It can protect us. It also can isolate us. So in all these different ways, fear, it has power. So as people of faith, we can recognize the power that fear has. And we can be honest that fear is often a constant companion in our lives. And at the same time, our fears do not have to control us. This series is designed to help us recognize how fear, recognize the fears and learn how we can move through them, not ignore them, not put them aside, not compartmentalize them, but move through them, feeling them. Because as people of faith, we have courage that we will come through the other side, that we can learn from them, that we can use them, and that we can press through them and become something new with the Spirit. So the first week of this series, we address the science of fear and how our brains are wired to respond to fear. It's very real. There are physical, biological, brain responses that happen to all the stimulus that exists in our environment. The second week, we looked at the cultural and societal fears that we have, those anxieties as countries, nations, big fears. Marisol had a gathering that day and talked about how fears can divide us, and that there is this, these kinds of fears that not only do we fear others, but there are others who fear us as well, and the emotional impact on relationships. That through the Spirit and through courage, even in the midst of those fears, we can have courage and discover that strangers can become friends. So this week, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about deep personal fears, intimate fears that each of us holds. There are four different fears that we're going to talk about this morning. So some of them are going to unpack. I think Adam Hamilton does a great job of unpacking these fears. If you're interested in purchasing the book, I can get you more information. So some of this is really just a snapshot of the impact of these fears on our lives. The first is the fear of a meaningless life. This can hit people who struggle with depression or anxiety. It is a fear that hope has been lost. It's total hopelessness and that there is no reason to continue on in life. In the Unafraid, Hamilton highlights the psychotherapist Viktor Frankl. You know who he was. He was a survivor of the concentration camps in Europe, and he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. Because one of the things he learned when he was in the concentration camps is that there was a big difference between people who had hope and people who had lost hope. And he realized that hope was an incredible motivator for people to hold on and hang in through tremendous pain and suffering. So he looked at that inner sense of purpose that was the motivating force for those prisoners in the concentration camps. And Hamilton writes that in following Jesus, that's where we can find meaning and purpose in life. It's one way that we can find a structure for meaning and purpose. It's in his teachings of love of God and love of neighbor. Those are the things that inspire hope. Caring for one another, it gives us a sense of meaning and purpose. The work of healing, forgiveness, compassion, and mercy all can lead us onto a path of meaningful life, and it can help us. Now, it also doesn't mean that if you are struggling with depression and anxiety, there are so many different layers to this. And if you know someone who is struggling with these things, I also want to say, reach out. This is a hard thing to do, or help to get them connected with someone to talk to, whether it be a pastor or a therapist. But love and support often is the important piece for someone struggling with these deep fears. The second deep personal fear we talked about this morning is loneliness. And I recognize that today there are more people, like there are more people, and yet more people are feeling alone than ever before. Loneliness is a fear that comes from isolation when we're not socially connected with one another. And one of the deepest, most basic human needs is connection. We're hardwired to be in community and in relationship with one another. So when we lose or we're missing or some kind of transition in our life leads us to feel that we don't have those close connections, when we fall into the fear of loneliness, it can be tremendously painful. So I'm wondering if you have ever felt alone, thinking about our kids, they may nail them, isolated, sadness, fear. And there are a lot of reasons why we might feel alone. Maybe it's the loss of a relationship, or maybe it's a deep grief that can make you feel alone. Maybe for you, might even be a major change. I don't know whether it be like changing into a new stage in life, or maybe changing into a new job, or a new home. If you have to build a new community, it can often feel like you're alone in the world. Or sometimes, there's this thing that happens when you move in and go through a new stage. So say, a new marriage, or even retirement. Those kinds of things where everybody else around you is excited, but you might feel tremendously alone in that transition. So there are a lot of different things that can lead us to feeling alone. So I'm wondering, what are the feelings that you have had that are associated with fear of loneliness? What are some of the feelings that come that are lurking beneath the surface for you? Despair.
That nobody can really understand you.
Depression. Lack of understanding. No one can understand you.
A sense of sadness.
Probably a sense that maybe you're the only one that feels things.
You
might not want to go and put it. Everybody else experiences it.
Right. And I think the danger is that I come across that a lot these days, especially with social media, when it looks like everyone in the world has got it all together. And I'm like, I don't. Like, I've often taken Facebook fast because I think that can lead to a sense of loneliness.
Then what's wrong with me that people don't want to include me? So what is it about me that people don't like, or what's wrong with me?
Is there something wrong with me?
I was going to say self-doubt.
Self-doubt.
Yeah.
Right. These are deep fears. I mean, and I think we, many of us feel these. It's very difficult. Other fears, feelings, to me?
I'm going to say the words of confusion. Okay, I'm sorry, why I say that. Because I used to have big hard conversations with my son when he was in middle school or high school. Because he wasn't all alone. He was in a school full of people. So I think it's important to recognize that you can be surrounded by people who are fully and yet still feel for the moment. And if you could understand why. Yeah. That was hard to understand. But it's in the connection. Because you can be surrounded by people and not have that connection with somebody. I think one of the best ways to kind of move through that fear of loneliness is just to feel what we're feeling. And I think that takes tremendous courage, especially when we're feeling alone. And I'm going to invite us to read together a story from Scripture that talks about this kind of courage. So let's read this together. Back in the boat, Jesus and the disciples came across the sea to Jesus on the ground. They were hardly out of the boat, and some men carried a paraplegic on a stretcher and laid him down in front of them. Jesus, impressed by their bold belief, said to the paraplegic, "Hear our son, I forgive your sins." Some religious fellows whispered, "Why don't you blaspheme?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to them, "Why does God keep whispering? Which do you think is simpler, to say, 'I forgive your sins,' or 'Get up and walk'? Well, just so it's clear that I am the Son of Man and authorized to do either or both." At this, I heard the prayer of the Jew and said, "Get up, take your bed, and go home." And the man did it. The crowd was awestruck. Amazed and pleased that God had authorized Jesus to work upon them in this way. So, not so much about the healing in this story, but there's one small little tiny detail that I love about this story. Is that there is a paraplegic man who's being carried on a net, and he's carried by his friends. Thinking about those men. This is a story about mercy and forgiveness, as well as healing. I love that in this story that this man is not alone. He cannot walk on his own, and yet it's his companions who provide a way for him. And he had courage, and they all had courage, to approach this man, Jesus, that they had just simply heard about, and had the guts to say, "Heal me." And his companions brought him the wrong way. They took a risk, and their friend is healed. And Hamilton calls these people in our lives stretcher bearers. They're the people who companion us through these really difficult times in our lives. Whether we feel despair or we're feeling alone, these are the people who can connect with us in deep and meaningful ways and help us. Even if you're not to dismiss what we're feeling, because it's important that we hold them and move through them. These are people, stretcher bearers. These are people in your life who inspire hope. They give you mercy. They offer forgiveness. They show love in ways that sometimes seem utterly impossible and it's completely unconditional. And it sort of pops up out of nowhere. Just when you need it most. And that, I tell you, is a gift of the Spirit. So I want you to take a moment and I want you to think of the stretcher bearers in your life. When you are connected in deep and meaningful ways with your stretcher bearers, how does that feel?
Renewing.
To say, if you flip it, I think about, like a homeless type person in the city, lonely among, millions in the city, those same feelings that we all describe about ourselves when someone else is that stretcher bearer or whatever to us, like when we provide that love and outreach to somebody else, you kind of get that same feeling yourself by providing that to someone else. You know, who would be that lonely person?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in my life, I can think of those poignant moments that kind of come out sideways when it's been this tremendous gift to me, or when I've been able to offer it to someone else. It's a gift that it provides hope in a way and a deep connection that helps us to move through these really difficult times in our lives. And I think that also speaks to the third person of fear, which is the fear of disappointing others. And this one is a tough one. Because the fear can be devastating for a lot of people. It can lead to a deep sense of pain for people who suffer from this fear. People who have a fear of disappointing others often are called people pleasers. The deep fear is, if I don't do everything I can to make this other person happy, they might start to stop caring for me. So it can lead to this constant sense of anxiety. It can also lead to a loss of one's own personal identity, because you're willing to sacrifice everything about your own self to please this other person, because their fear is so deep. And it looks at questions because the fear is real. The fear is, if I disappoint this person, will I be alone? So for people pleasers, the question is, if I show my true self as my true self, will I still be loved? So the answer to that is yes, yes, yes. Your authentic self, just as you are. I often, as I was preparing the message, I was thinking of that old hymn, "Just as I am, without one thing." It was all about, you know, I'm coming before you, God, just as I am. Will others who are in relationship with us come just as you are? Be yourself with all of your flaws and broken places. And that's where God comes in this miraculous way, the gift of the Spirit. It's like I almost imagine God filling in those cracks and helping to nurture those bruised places, because we all make mistakes. We all have faults and flaws. And we are loved just as we are. This is the depth of God's love for us, that no matter what, you are loved. And it takes courage to move through fears of disappointing others. Sometimes you have to let someone else down. And that, for a people pleaser, takes tremendous courage, because there is this fear of, what if I lose this relationship? But if you can do that, it can make your relationship stronger. And if a relationship is lost, that could possibly lead to a new thing. Some relationship, in a codependent relationship, for example, if the fear of disappointing others is leading to a codependency with someone else, sometimes you have to let that go to start something new. So the last fear I'm going to talk about today is that last fear that is also connected with the fear of disappointing others, which is the fear of failure. I'm an expert at the fear of death myself. And so one of the stories that has inspired me, just like a big story, I love this story, is the story of Man on Wire, which is a documentary, Oscar award-winning film, about the most artistic crime in history. On the morning of August 7th, 1974, Philippe Petit, who's a French high-wire artist, walked across a tightrope that he strung between World Trade Twin Towers. Now, when you learn the backstory of this incredible walk, first of all, if you've ever been that high and just the idea of looking down, I mean, it's terrifying. So the back story is, Lee had a toothache, and he went to his French dentist, and he's sitting in the waiting room, and he picks up a magazine, and he sees an article about the Twin Towers that were not yet built. Construction hadn't even started, and as he's looking at this magazine, he immediately has this dream that I am going to walk between these towers. And so he practices day and night with this intense concentration on a high wire. Many of these crazy stunts. He put a high wire between the two towers and the Notre Dame Cathedral and walked across while they were celebrating a mass downstairs. And the organist in the mass came out and said, oh my gosh, what a moment of beauty and wonder. Then he goes to Australia, and the city harbor bridge has two towers, and he walks across the two towers, which is amazing. So he has this dream, but this is the moment that speaks to me. In the documentary film, it opens with his stretcher bearers, his team of people who are going to help him complete this task, because you can't do this alone. So he's got this whole team of people around him who are absolutely terrified of doing this. And the morning that they're going to go to the towers, early morning, bring up their equipment, get everything set up, the best case scenario for them is that they're going to get arrested. Because they're going to get arrested. But they're terrified that it's going to fail. They're terrified that they're going to kill their friends. They're terrified of all the things that could potentially go wrong, of the weather, of someone coming in. They say in the film, fear was in the air. You could cut the tension with the knife. We were terrified we were going to get caught. It's absolutely crazy. But then his friend, Jean-Louis, says, everyone was getting nervous. We jump in the truck. Are we going to die? Or are we going to live? Fear was in the air, but they chose to move through the fear, and it opened up a tremendous moment of awe and wonder. And it was a beautiful moment to show the possibility of the human spirit. Well,
interestingly enough, the week after Philippe Petit went across the Twin Towers, he was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, walking across Hamilton Street at Hessen's. I saw it.
Did you see it?
I saw it.
You saw it? Oh my gosh, I would have given anything to that. That's incredible. Oh wow. Yeah, well, they all ended up getting arrested, and one of the things that he was put on shows, and he had been put on a show in Central Park for groups of children, so he traveled around, and now he's an artist in residence at St. John of Divine Cathedral in New York City, and he lives between New York and Paris. That's fantastic. So, let's watch this video together about fear and grace.
If you look at that amazing African-American spiritual, Amazing Grace, what grace is that line? It's grace that taught my heart fear. So when you say, are you afraid of the dark? Yeah, I am so afraid of the dark, and grace has taught my heart to fear. I know how to be afraid. I used to not know how to be afraid. I used to, in fear, get perfect, get controlling, get blaming, get mean, run. I was really mean to you. And I think that's a huge learning of why I'm wrong, is we don't know how to be afraid. And so, I don't know that there are any teachers as capable as Grace when it comes to learning how to be in fear. And Grace is not, again, the thing that makes you unafraid. It's the thing that whispers, you know how to be afraid, it's okay. You can be afraid. because I've never had anything meaningful, and I can almost say nothing meaningful in my career, or even is it the most meaningful things I've ever done in my life, personally and professionally, have all been born here and vulnerability. Every talk I've given was important, every book I've written, deciding to have kids, birthing those kids, raising those kids, it's all scary. But Grace has brought my heart to share.
Well, at the end, you can talk about the quick fix of a courage pill, you know, right? You go to all the trash and I'm courageful, but it's not real, right? There is no courage pill. It's just about having the willingness to move through our fears. And this is where I'm going to pull together our stretch of errors and our tightrope moments. So your tightrope moment, is your moment where you risk failure. You risk relationships for something beautiful, where you had to face something really difficult and you were afraid, but you knew to be surrounded by your stretch of errors. Your stretch of errors are the people who hold you, who encourage you, who inspire you through your tightrope moments. So not to take away the fear, but to hold so that it becomes transformed into something new. So how do you find the courage to hold and move your way through fear? Where do you find the grace to help you find your way?
Are your stretch of errors and believing what they're telling you, and you don't have the faith or the confidence to within yourself to do it. That's being able to open yourself and hear that, and then take the risk based on their faith in you.
Three times, and it's really helpful.
So I'm listening to every word so far. There is an incredible woman who I feel is walking a tightrope. Typically do, or how people typically handle transitions. From bureaucracies or whatever, I don't know, or if it's just fear of wanting to do the right thing, I know in my heart that there's a woman who's struggling right now. And we need to lift her up because she has lifted everyone else. And we need to welcome her and just want everyone to keep her in our prayers.
I think one of the things that bothers me is a lot of people's lack of willing to go beyond comfort spiritually, physically, and mentally, and being willing to take the risk to do things that they are really capable of doing if they get beyond fear. And like I think Brene Brown was right on when she said, there aren't things that I've ever done in my life that weren't born of fear. But now I look back and the reward is just so powerful. So I encourage folks to just physically, mentally, and spiritually take that leap, because if you don't, you just stop growing. You stagnate. And unfortunately, I just see so many stagnant around me in my life, and I really feel sad for me, because once we stop growing, we start dying.
I have an example of that. I have a coworker whose husband took his life just a couple weeks ago. I have a coworker whose husband took his life, and I'm going to say a little thing before, her said her opening up, so it's hard. I did reach out to her and said, hard. Saw her on the first day of school, and I'm great spread to see and see you, and go back to see how she's doing. So sometimes get wrapped up in worrying about, what I'm going to say instead of just.
I can't speak for anybody else, so I'll speak for myself. you know, while we sit here and talk about our fears, I know that there's at least somebody in this room who has done something amazing to me, in my perspective. And so I see people, you've done things in your life, in your professional career, that I've looked at in awe and said, wow, that's taken huge. You take a lot of sacrifices. There are a lot of people in this room whom I can look at and say, wow, that person has done X. I can't imagine. It's easy to look into my life and my social and my communal circles and say, there's someone here who has done something that I respect, who has gone beyond their fears and worked out to make that thing happen. The harder thing for me is to be able to look at tough situations, something that I'm afraid of people, and say, yep, I can do it. That takes a hell of a lot more to move beyond. And for me, looking at someone inspired, looking at seeing somebody who's taken the big step, the brain around the world, you, this community, many people in this community for different reasons. It's harder for me to sit down and contemplate how I can do that, but that faith, that God moment, that introspection to be able to realize that I have that capability too, that's a personal struggle. You know, and at the end of the day, when it comes down to conquering your fears, the only person who can do it is you. So I think even though every one of us may have a stretcher bearer, if you will, that stretcher bearer doesn't do anything like that to serve it. It all comes down to being able to have that internal conversation, that prayerful moment, that spiritual moving to be able to take that next step. That's why we're all here. I think that's a personal one.
Courage, as we've seen, is not the elimination of fear. Courage is doing what we know we should do in the face of fear, in the face of rejection, loneliness, grief, despair. Whatever challenges you're facing, it's not the elimination of it, but it's the willingness to do what we're capable of doing in the face of it. And it's also being your own self. It's taking risks in relationship. It's recognizing when there are people who are taking our bits. And with the gift of the Spirit, we can support one another. We can be there for one another. And I think that's what gives us the grace, the love, the mercy that enables us to face those deep personal fears, to risk, and to grow in love. So I pray that each one of you has the courage to be a stretcher bearer, to embrace your stretcher bearer, to embrace the stretcher bearers in your life, that you are in your type of woman, you have companions.